Bear with. All right, guys, so I would like you to quickly turn to the person next to you, and I want you to ask them what has been their favorite social media, YouTube kind of clip that they've seen in the last 12 months. Go. Last, like, Facebook, YouTube clip, favorite clip. Okay, so I said I'd only give you a few minutes, so I'm going to call it there. I see some of you are acting out those videos there. There was a group over here giving us a proper, like, full-on three-minute impression of what was going on. But for me, I'm going to show you mine. For me, one of mine this year was this one that's about to come on the screen here. Some of you will have seen it. But yeah, just take a watch and see what you think.
Accepted Christ as his Savior and as his Lord, and he will demonstrate his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ by willingly being baptized this morning. He's been waiting on this day a long time. And so, Jordan, upon the profession of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Go, Jordan.
So for me, that was a great video that was on Facebook for a number of weeks and be shared by lots of people and by lots of different people with beliefs. But the idea that kid was so excited, he was so excited that he couldn't wait to be baptized, for me, sets a bit of a question to all these people that were sharing that video. And that question is, why was he so excited? What was it about baptism? What was it about declaring his love for Jesus that was so exciting for this young person? And what is it tonight that Holly and Murray are so keen to tell you about and so keen to demonstrate by being baptized? And I think this is a question that in churches we should be asking a lot of it. Because a lot of things we do in church to the people outside of the church building seem a bit weird, seem a bit strange, seem a bit unknown to why we do them. And baptism could be seen as one of those. Because baptism is not an everyday occurrence for most people. We are in a great position as a church where we're having two baptism services back to back over the next week. But that's unusual for us. We're not baptizing people every week. So I want to take the next couple of moments just to talk through what I believe and what we believe baptism is, what it is that Holly and Murray are kind of signing up for, and what it really is that they're demonstrating with their love for Jesus and their relationship that they have with him. Now, there's many passages in the Bible that I could choose to speak about this, but the passage I've gone for is in Acts 2. And this message is delivered by Peter, who is one of Jesus' followers and friends. And he delivers this to a large crowd of people in Jerusalem, just days after Jesus has died and resurrected and ascended to heaven. So we're going to read through this passage, and then there's a couple of points that I want to pull out about some of the things that baptism is about and what Holly and Murray are saying today. So all the words will appear on the screen, so feel free to either follow me on there or in your Bibles. So Acts 2, starting in verse 22. People of Israel, listen. God publicly endorsed Jesus the Nazarene by doing powerful miracles, wonders, and signs through him, as you well know. But God knew what would happen, and his prearranged plan was carried out when Jesus was betrayed. With the help of lawless Gentiles, you nailed him to a cross and killed him. But God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life, for death could not keep him in its grips. King David said this about him. I see the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad and my tongue shouts his praises. My body rests in hope, for you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. You have shown me the way of life, and you will fill me with the joy of your presence. Dear brothers, think about this. You can be sure that the patriarch David wasn't referring to himself. For he died and was buried, and the tomb is still here among us. But he was a prophet, and he knew God had promised with an oath that one of David's own descendants would sit on the throne. David was looking into the future and speaking of the Messiah's resurrection. He was saying that God would not leave him among the dead or allow his body to rot in the grave. God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this. Now he is exalted to the place of highest honor in heaven at God's right hand. And the Father, as he has promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us, just as you see and hear today. For David himself never ascended into heaven, yet he said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit in the place of honor at my right hand side until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet." So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter replied, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord Jesus Christ." So what does this passage have to tell us about baptism and have to tell us about our relationships with Jesus? Well, firstly, it's reminding us that we're not alone. That when we come into a relationship with Jesus, we're not alone. We are no longer facing the world and our problems alone. So Peter quotes David in the passage that we've just read, who was an Old Testament king, who is confident that God would not abandon him even in death. God always promises that we will not be alone. But we live in a go-it-alone culture. The world tells us that it should all be about us and all about what we want and we desire, all about making our own choices and our own plans and our own paths. But this is not what God wants for anybody. All of us have things, but the issue is that all of us have things in our lives that separate us from God. All of us have things that trip us up or keep us away from that relationship with God. And the Bible calls this sin. With this controlling our lives, we can't have a full relationship with God. And this has been the case for each and every person since the beginning of the earth. Since the first humans were on this planet, sin has been a problem that separated us from God. So God sent Jesus to earth to allow for this relationship to be fully restored, because he could not face us being alone. He couldn't face us being alone. We can't do life on our own. And God wanted to fix that problem. And this is the relationship that Holly and Murray have already entered into and spoken about tonight. They've talked about journeys. They've talked about things that they've struggled with or struggled to do alone. And what they've both said is that they've come into this relationship knowing that this is a partnership between them and God, and that their journey ahead and that their path ahead, they're not going to do it alone, but they're going to do it with Jesus. Secondly, we see it's all about our hearts. In the passage that we've just read, it says, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. We live in a culture, and one of our particular baptism candidates will be able to tell you more about this evening, of where we like to post everything on Instagram. We like to spend ages taking lots of selfies and lots of really nice pictures. And then we have to take like 50 of them to make sure we get the right one or the right angle. We then have to put filters on top of them to make sure that we're looking as well as we can do. And we all build this culture and this image of us that isn't actually who we genuinely are. It's a mask that we put on. It's how we live our lives out in the world. And what this passage is reminding of us, and what entering into a relationship with Jesus is saying, is that Christianity is not about our outward actions. It's not about ticking a load of boxes before you can be at that right place with God. It's not about saying the right things or acting in the right way or attending church. But it's about the work that God is doing in our hearts. And from both of Murray and Holly this evening, I think we can safely say that we've seen a change in their hearts. We've seen God working in their lives. And it's just amazing to hear their stories. So as Holly and Murray get baptized tonight, what they're saying is that they acknowledge the work of God in their hearts and their lives already. And that they both want to continue on this journey. Tonight is about making a public declaration of this to each person in this room and to everyone else that we know. And it's about making a declaration that they want to continue on this journey. It doesn't stop here, but actually there is more to come and God's going to do more in each of their lives. And last but no means least, we see that it's a promise for all. The passage that we read said, then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you, to your children, and those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God. When Peter was speaking to this crowd and they heard this message, he reminded them that this message wasn't just for them in that time at that location, but actually that it was for everybody then, for everybody now, for all of the people that we know. This message is still the same. The promises that God gives us are still the same for everyone. But they asked him what they needed to do. They were so struck by this message. They were so inspired by this message. They said, what should we do? And he tells them to repent and be baptized. Now, this is one of Jesus' most controversial teachings. The idea that he wasn't just here for the Jews, or he wasn't just here for the men, or he wasn't just here for the rich, but actually that he was here for everybody. And the promise that he gives, the command that he gives us to go and tell others and repent and be baptized is also seen here. So, baptism. It's about not being alone. It's about a change of heart, and it's about holding on to those promises. So tonight, as Holly and Murray enter into the water, what they're saying is that they want to publicly show that Jesus is at work in their lives. As they come into the water and step into the warmish water, they're saying that I can't do this alone. I don't want to do this alone anymore. As we take them under the water, they're saying, I'm going to die to my old life. I'm going to put those things aside. Those things that have led me astray, I'm going to put them aside because I want a new life with you. I want you to lead my heart and I want you to guide me. And as they come up, they're declaring what that new life is and what it's going to look like for them. And it won't be easy. This isn't the one-stop shop of making them super holy. But this is them saying that they want to do this together with Jesus, together with us, and that they want to continue on this journey that they're currently on. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you want to have a relationship with each of us. God, we thank you that we are not alone on this earth and the plans and the purposes that you have for each of us. We thank you for Murray and Holly. We thank you for their determination to step out for you. We pray that they would be a witness to the people around them. And God, that you would continue to move in each of our lives. In your name, amen.